Yo, 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 Thought Warriors. What is up? Higher Learning is on. It is I, Van Lathan Jr.
And it's me, Rachel Lynn Lindsay.
Rachel, you've got a denim and upholstery outfit on right now. Denim, like I like when you have
the You're denim. The only one who has seen it this way. I've gotten a lot of compliments off it's this good. Outfit today.
It's a good, like what, is it a whole fit? Yeah, see, that's how you look. See how you do that? You look, that's how you look.
Kind of like WandaVision-ish?
A little bit.
Right?
A little bit. Like,
are
when you do
that
like
I
that?
Knew that?
Yeah, you do like that. Do like that. Look like, Rachel can't do it. Like, it's like 1975, first black acre in San Diego.
That's exactly what it looks like.
It does.
You know what I mean? It is, good, though. You're right. It really does.
Why do you shop from such expensive places?
This is something that came out of wardrobe. First of all, if you don't know how much this is, and neither do I, but this is from wardrobe with Extra. I'm at Extra. Remember, I'm back in the Pepto-Bismol room.
They
gave
you?
This is how you know I'm having a busy day when I can't get home. And I got a podcast from here.
They give you stuff to wear at Extra?
Yeah.
How does that work?
There's a budget for wardrobe for everybody here who's on camera.
And then, like, do you get to keep the stuff?
No.
What do they do with it?
It's all owned by Extra. It just sits here. Like, the last girl stuff's over here. So, you know, sometimes we wear each other's clothes.
Sometimes y'all wear each other's clothes?
I mean, like, from people before, right? Like, if it's a dress that you like, it's still here.
So you mean to tell me that you have worn the clothes of Extra people prior to you?
I've worn one person's clothes before.
Who was this?
Her name was Renee. She's not here anymore.
And you wore her stuff. I'm not gonna lie. I wouldn't expect a operation such as Extra to be. Like, it's niggas I know in the hood, that's how they got it. You know, you see them and they'd be wearing their brother's pants and you knew that the pants had to make it through a couple of siblings before they could be thrown away because they didn't have that much money.
Budget cuts.
That's crazy. At Extra? I bet Nate Burleson don't have to wear nobody else's clothes.
He sure doesn't. He's on CBS in the morning. He's not here.
Oh, so he was with Extra before? He was at Extra before? You think they made Nate Burleson wear somebody, Billy Bush? You think Billy Bush got to wear another nigga clothes?
He does not.
What if they put Billy Bush in like a black
man's
clothes?
I really do have my own wardrobe, but I can see the other girl's stuff. So there's been a couple times I'm like, oh, that's a really cute dress. I'll take that.
Oh, so it's your choice to wear somebody.
Yeah, she's not like you have to. Let me clear that up. No, I have my own stuff.
Billy Bush is on the show, right?
Mm-hmm.
Do you think Billy Bush would wear a black man's jeans?
Yes, I do.
You think so?
I do.
You don't think he put them on in his Bush Mayflower skin with Slark Crawler? No.
No, I think
why he did would. You why did you swagger jack her though? Why did you do that? Why can't you have
you
your own stuff?
You're worried about the wrong. I have my own stuff, but she's not here, and so I was like, oh, that's it's just sitting there in a closet. I would call that me being resourceful. Hey, don't go out and buy something new. That's a cute dress. That's a cute dress too.
Open out the production. You should steal that top. Like, we should
dress.
It's a whole dress. Mm-hmm. We should dress like 70s. We should do a disco party. I
want to
bring disco back.
A skate party.
A roller disco.
Skate disco, yeah.
Yeah. Why can't it just be about me having a good idea, Rach? Everything that I have a good idea about is like you change
it. What kind of mood are you in today? I do not change. It's called collaborating.
It is true.
No? I'm sorry that I'm not in over 6 feet production. Six feet over.
See?
I really thought I had that right, too. I was so proud of myself. Over 6 feet.
6 feet over. Yeah, so it's interesting when I think about you wearing other people's clothes on Extra. I didn't think, what?
Not happen often. I don't want to make it seem like that. It's been my choice completely.
Well, it's crazy because it's like good times at Extra. And you guys, came in a head above water. You know what I mean?
Temporary lights.
Extra. I didn't know it was like that there, for real. So some real shit. What are you doing this weekend?
Oh my gosh. I'm working all weekend. It's the Grammys.
Can
The parties start tonight. I got to do the Grammy Black Music Collective tonight. I got Friday, there's something. Music Cares. Saturday is the Clive Davis Gala. And
people who was
Grammys.
Were inviting me to Grammy stuff. And I'm like, nah, man, I can't go.
Is there like a huge reason or you just don't feel like getting out?
I just don't feel good about my physical form to be out at the Grammys. And plus,
you're the only one worried about that.
And plus, I'm cutting back. I'm doing good. Mm-hmm. And everywhere you go, food is such a slut. Food
and
is,
drinks.
They're so slutty. I just had a screwdriver, so I don't know if I'm doing too good about that. I just drank a screwdriver.
Screwdrivers? Are we 18? Screwdrivers?
A screwdriver. You can't have like orange juice. What's wrong with a screwdriver?
That is like such a beginner's drink.
Why?
Who drinks that? Well, I would love a poll. I know how you make it, but I never hear somebody saying that they had a screwdriver.
Well, I'm making it at my crib. What am I supposed to do?
Like
what? No, I don't like that.
Maybe a little Red Bull.
First of all, I don't drink Red Bull.
Maybe
one.
A little lime juice, juice.
I don't like the taste of alcohol like the rest of you out.
Why are you just drinking a screwdriver in the middle of the day?
Yeah, man, it's a tough
morning. You all right?
It's a tough morning.
Are you okay? It is a tough morning. I feel you.
I boxed and I got punched in my shit.
I see it a little bit.
Yeah, you see, I got boxed and I got punched in my shit and it hurts a little bit. I was putting paws on niggas this morning, though. It's us.
Sounds like they were putting them on you, too.
Absolutely.
What are you doing this weekend?
Let me see.
Did you go to the Grammys?
No. To the goddamn Grammys. The Grammys have been cursed to me ever since Chris Brown and Rihanna didn't show up that year.
Was that Grammys?
They didn't show up. And everybody was like, what the fuck is going on? And then it was just a whole thing around the Grammys. And I was like, I don't watch this anymore.
That was 2009. 2012. So
everybody's
Dear
like,
Whitney.
Where they at? It's just like the Grammys are cursed. Something goes wrong with the Grammys all the time. It's like it's a cursed
event.
Yeah,
I got to work Clive Davis's gala.
Clive Davis, huh?
That's when.
Yeah.
This is the hotel. So it's eerie to me that they even still do it.
If you go to these galas, this is like people ask me, why was it so hard for me to lose weight the first time? And now it's different, right? Because you go to these galas, right? And somebody comes up to you and they go, hey, we have beef Angus bacon wrap sliders. Would you like one? And I'll be like, yeah, give me six of them.
It's also the drinking too. I've cut back on drinking and I see the difference. Also, do you do intermittent fasting? That's something that's worked really well for me and Brian.
I don't want to fucking hear about what Brian does.
I'm just trying to
You know
to
what I mean? It's like, I knew you were going to say it.
But intermittent fasting is like people, even here, our stage director was talking about it. And I'm just saying it works well for a lot of people.
Brian got his shit from intermittent Jesus. He was born with it, okay? I'm sick of him. He can't come to the house anymore. He can't come to the house. Brian can't come to the house.
His feelings will be so hurt.
I don't care. I'll come to him. We come to the house. Everybody's eating pizza. The whole fucking thing is going up. Brian, I look over and Brian is like peeling the crust off of chicken wings and trying to get to the middle protein. He's just being, it's just too much.
Ruin the whole wings. Thing. I didn't eat pizza either.
Why not?
Okay. Because I'm not a huge fan of cheese. And when I saw the wings, it's like, oh, I'll just eat the wings.
That's right, you don't like cheese.
But I would have taken the cheese off and put the toppings back on. But then I saw the wings and I'm like, they got Wingstop.
I wonder if there's a place that caters to psychopaths like yourself and makes like a cheeseless pizza.
All the time. I can order a cheeseless pizza anytime
I
want.
Is that true?
Yes.
So what do they put on it? So
I go to Postmates or something and I'm like putting together my pizza, I can say no cheese. You can do no cheese, little cheese, regular, extra cheese. Yeah.
How do the toppings stay on the pizza? Yeah. What are you doing?
They sit in the sauce.
What are you doing? Like a balancing act trying to keep the goddamn sausage from rolling off of the pizza?
They sit in the sauce.
So you just literally eat like
bread, sauce, and
bread, sauce, and meat
mm-hmm.
in the form of a pizza. You know that's not a pizza, right? It's right. Wait, here's the thing. Can you put, does pesto have cheese in it?
Yes.
Can you, pesto has cheese in it?
Yes.
That's pesto is cheese?
There's Parmesan in pesto.
So you just don't eat cheese.
I've done the work.
Mac and cheese. No mac and cheese for
like,
Rachel.
I tasted pesto and I was like, there's cheese in here. I can tell. I can smell it. That's really what a cheese stinks to me. That's really what it is. It
people
stinks.
Don't like cheese. You know, you're one of those people. People don't. There's some people that don't fuck with cheese.
I think Donnie's a non-cheese eater.
Donnie, jump on.
I was a kid, but the older I got, my taste buds kind of matured.
Get off, Donnie. Love it.
Donnie, get off. Get back on. Ashley, what are your thoughts on cheese?
I like some cheese, but like not like the overly cheesy stuff. You know, like some people just have a bunch of cheese melted on cheese it's upon so cheese. Gross. It gets really gross after that.
It's sloppy.
Yeah.
You know what's crazy is, so did we put a podcast out yesterday? First of all, live podcast come out?
Yeah.
Okay, whatever. After that live podcast, we went to Here and Now, which is a great little, Rachel stayed with us for a little while, and then she had something else to do. It's okay. We went to Here and Now, which is a great little gastropub down where we used to live in the Arch District. And it was really fun.
Yeah,
it was fun. Were there cheese related incidents there?
Yeah.
What did we have to have cheese?
Y'all got loaded fries, I saw.
That was Jomie. Nobody had another fry except for Jomie. So let me tell you how I know. I know how to keep niggas off my shit. Okay? So my thing is, I know how to keep niggas off my shit. So I want to put the shit out there. I want to be like, hey, loaded fries for Jomie. Give Jomie the loaded fries. Jomie is literally like, I have as much love and affection for Jomie as I do one of my own brothers. So I'm going to make sure that Jomie is taken care of. We all eating our shit. Bring my nigga Jomie some loaded fries. And so those are all for him. But then we had the chicken wings that Ashley was just tearing them chicken wings up. Ashley, you could really throw it back, man. She started off shy. And then the more opinions that started to fly out, the more food she started to kind of like stuff down her gullet. And at a time, I was like, man, you're eating too many biscuits. I like the biscuits.
I ordered the biscuits. Yuck.
Those were good. Ashley,
those were good biscuits. Those were good biscuits.
Nigga, what? Like, those were good biscuits.
Mm-hmm. They were flaky, and I've never seen a biscuit like that before, and I never want to see one like that again.
What kind of biscuits do you like? Ashley, why are you laughing at
homemade biscuits?
Those were homemade from Here and Now. They made them right there.
Yes. Sorry. I got to respond. Now, wait, you put this into existence. Now I have to respond
to who?
To the Billy email. Bush? About Ant-Man, because they're like, we need to know now. And if you hadn't said anything, I'm like, oh, now I got to smile. Okay. Carry on.
Okay. I have Phil just sent me videos of me boxing. I look like.
I want to see. Do you put the one up where you got hit?
Are you fucking nuts? I'm not putting these videos up.
It's only a kick. A jump. A block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle. A run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
Hi, I'm your inner dream monologue. And you're fast asleep, so I'll be quick. Great job using the Colgate Optic White Overnight Teeth Whitening Pen before bed. When used as directed, it gives you a visibly whiter smile in just 7 days. So while I fly and talk to animals, you're removing teeth stains with ease. Sweet dreams. And when you wake up, keep on living life to the brightest. Colgate Optic White. Find it at all major retailers.
Rachel.
Yes.
Have you ever done a measurement just, this is not a diss. I swear this is not a diss.
Don't say
Have you ever done a measurement just from eyebrow to the top just to see how long the forehead is. Have you
so
ever?
So is my forehead looking extra big to you today?
But see, here's the thing. People try to talk about people's foreheads.
Oh, people in your comments about my forehead?
No. I'm not talking about people. I'm talking about overall. Your forehead fits your face perfectly. But Donnie, what did you think that I was about to say?
I knew you were about to say something about her forehead.
Because
you were looking at it, Donnie?
Because Donnie was looking at it too.
Be honest. It was the angle. You had a profile look. And he said, I'm about to ask you a question, but don't take offense. So I knew exactly where he was about to go with it.
Look, my forehead's getting bigger as my hairline retreats. It's the other way. Like, see, you kind of look. Nah, not that way. See, now you're making it less prompt. That's kind of it.
I think it looks bigger like this.
No, that's it. That's it. Because it's taken over, you know? Where does that come from? Your pretty hair doesn't have forehead
like
that.
Full disclosure, where does that come from? If you don't stop talking about my forehead.
I'm just saying.
Disclosure, I have absolutely measured the forehead.
You have. How many inches would you say the forehead
is? No, I don't know how many inches. I know from hand.
Okay.
From the hand.
So just let you know that you've measured your forehead with hands. That's how they measure horses. They say this horse is X amount of hands high. So it's prominent. Donnie, what's your worst?
It's the whole hand.
Yeah, I see it right there. Yes, too. But I guess mine is no. Mine overlaps.
Like my thumb is touching the top of my hairline, but still, I'm going to go ahead and give that a whole hand.
Yeah, you're just trying to show that ring off. Look at Brian go. Look at Brian go with the ring. Donnie, what's your?
I'm going to remember that, Donnie.
What's your most regrettable feature, Donnie?
Okay, I wouldn't say my forehead is my most regrettable.
That's making assumptions.
I didn't say that that was the thing. I asked what we can all talk about right now, all four of us.
I totally love to embrace the things like my gap and my forehead. I feel like I feel like they totally make me. And people like Rihanna or like Tyra Banks, they talk about foreheads. And I'm like, these are all beautiful women who embrace their foreheads. And it's taught me to embrace mine as well.
Big foreheads is normally associated with being attractive. Big heads. It's true.
Is it?
Big heads. People with big heads. You look that up. Look that up. Donnie, what's your most regrettable physical feature?
I think about it. I think it's my beard. I can't grow.
Pop in. Put your camera on. Let me see.
I have a spotty.
Yeah, you do, bro.
There's like a patch right here that is completely hairless. The other side is not.
How many fingertips take up the patch?
Yeah, Donnie. Just
on your finger. One fingertip. I have measured
Donnie,
that too.
You got a stepdad beard. Niggas who are somebody's stepfather always have fucked up beards because they couldn't have a family of their own. They have to come get the next man's family. And it's probably because, you know, the secondary in beard life, secondary in father life. You have stepdad beard. But you know what? You make it up for it. I can't believe that. How old are you, Donnie?
34.
That head of hair is fucking fantastic. I literally would kill a nigga for that right there. That head of hair is fantastic. Ashley, what's your most regrettable physical feature?
I don't know if I have a regrettable one, but I've always thought I had a big forehead as well. But I like it.
No, okay. Ashley, I've seen you.
Pop on, let me see.
It doesn't compare. Not
Ashley,
even
what the
compare.
Fuck are you That's, talking yeah, about?
No, turn the camera off. You're embarrassing me and my forehead.
Yeah, you're bringing all the foreheads down.
Get out of here.
All the foreheads down.
This is a forehead.
I think for real, though, if we did like a real like inches or centimeters measurement, that you, Van, and Rachel's foreheads would be about similar in size.
Yeah,
Donnie is out of control right now.
Donnie,
I don't know. Like, you come to LA, you come back, you're just it.
Donnie, what the fuck?
I'm just saying.
Oh, by the way, so nobody asks, I have a couple of things. Okay,
I was about to ask you, what are yours?
Number one, the titties, bro. The titties. Even when I am in great shape, I'm one of them niggas that got a little perky set. Like, it's like, even when I'm in great shape and they're gone, it's like, you ever see guys and they're boxers and they don't have, like, ripped chests? Like, they got, like, little, little titties. They got like their little titty meat around the nipple. And it's like, even when I was doing, at one point I was doing 350 push-ups a day.
Jesus.
Trying to address the titty meat. And all they did, they got stronger, but that little, if I had to get surgery, I would get surgery to remove the titty. You know what I mean? Serious.
I think everybody's regrettable feature is something that they fixate on and other people do not.
Nah, but this like, whole memes
all
about
that you
your
just
forehead,
explained,
though.
No.
This whole memes about your forehead, though. Let's keep it above.
Are there?
Yeah, you seen the Snoop Dogg meme.
Oh, you always bring up the Snoop Dogg one. I'm not going to lie. That angle, and it was like, because like my extensions were big popping out too. It was like big in the back, big in the front. It was a watermelon head for sure. you gotta laugh at these things. You cannot take it seriously. I've been rocking this forehead for 37 years. Me and my forehead aren't going anywhere. I love it.
We should.
On Monday, I'm going to have bangs.
Your bangs for the Quantumania premiere. We should make a person based upon all of our insecurities. A nigga with a stepdad.
I immediately saw Pinky
and a
for Pinky.
Big ass fucking forehead with some titties and a perfect, the rest of it's perfect because Ashley has nothing wrong with her. Thank you, Ashley. Nothing wrong. Very upsetting. All right, guys, the pleasantries are over now. We gave you guys a fat 20 minutes of pleasantries. We got through
it. It's been a while.
It's been a while since we went deep on pleasantries.
Good. I needed good. That today.
Yeah. Talk about everybody. I go put one of my bras on. We
I'll go put on a cap.
Have an interview with Jason Lee, the CEO of Hollywood Unlocked, and also the host of a brand new show on Revolt. Mm-hmm. We were supposed to have like a regular interview with Jason Lee.
Yep.
But the talk was so good that
it was a whole conversation. You know when you have a good interview when they start throwing questions back at you?
Yeah.
And it just becomes a back and forth. Yeah. I knew it would be good. I just wasn't expecting it to go where it went. So I'm excited for everyone to hear it.
We are going to give you guys that interview right now. And that's kind of gonna be our pod. We gotta come back fresh, locked and loaded Monday.
Yeah. Oh, we are definitely coming locked and loaded on Monday. We got somebody that we've said was gonna come is coming to the podcast.
Yeah, it's true. It's true. All right, this is Jason Lee, Hollywood Unlocked.
As a plant-based cheese company, Daya has never talked about beef in an ad before, because someone somewhere once had a beef with saying beef and plant-based together. So putting a slice of Daya cheese on a beef burger, not okay. Well, our delicious melty cheese has a beef with your beef about beef, because any step towards plant-forward eating is a step in the right direction. Daya, 100% plant-based, even if you're not. Now made with Daya Oat Cream Blend.
At Evernorth Health Services, we believe costs shouldn't get in the way of life-changing care, and we're doing everything in our power to make it possible. Behavioral health solutions that also keep your projections at their best? It's possible. Pharmacy benefits that benefit your bottom line? It's possible. Complex specialty care that cares about your ROI? It's possible. Because we're already doing it. All while saving businesses billions. That's Wonder made possible. Learn more at evernorth.com/wonder.
All right. We have cultural staple joining us today on Higher Learning. You guys know him and you know his fucking work. He's the CEO and founder of Hollywood Unlocked. Former host of the weekly live YouTube show, Gagging with Jason Lee. And he is now the host of a brand new talk show, The Jason Lee Show, which premiered last month over on Revolt. Shout out to everybody on Revolt, Monique, all my people over there. Their weekly one-hour show features exclusive interviews, trending hot topics, celebrity interviews, and more. Damn, look at the fucking lineup. Cardi B, yeah. Remy Ma, Lala Anthony, Ike and Tina Turner, and Claudia Jordan are all going to, Blueface and Krishan, are all going to be on this show. Jason Lee joins us today on Higher Learning. My man, what's up with you, bro?
Man, that was a great intro. I love that.
That's what we do, brother. Jason, I've known you for a while. My first question to you is, your career is taking a lot of twists and turns, man. like you're hosting your own show. It goes from Hollywood Unlocked. When you first came to this city from the fucking tough Scrabble streets of Stockton, California, is hosting a one-hour show what you imagined that you would be doing?
No, I mean, I knew I wanted to. Well, first of all, when I came to LA, I came by way of my job as the director of a labor union representing healthcare workers. And so I was already in the world of organized messaging, leadership, fighting for the underdog, you know, fighting against oppression. So for me, coming here as part of the day job of leading for better, safer staffing standards for nurses at the bedside and then partying that night at Jamie Foxx's house, I found this weird duality where, like, I enjoy my job because I love advocacy, community work, organizing, fighting for people and, you know, at the workplace. But then at the same time, I was very intoxicated by celebrity culture, pop culture, and wanting to become my own boss and have my own platform. And I had a lot of opinions about what I was seeing in Hollywood and, you know, was doing it as a hobby. And then once I started really figuring out tech and what being Black in tech meant as having a dot website and then how to build a brand, I thought about it as a organizer. How do I get these major cities around me? How do I get this industry to rally behind what I'm doing? And I had to do a lot of organizing, which was developing platforms, podcasts, TV, reality shows, this, that. But then I also had to code switch and figure out how to maneuver in ways of being able to be relatable to different audiences. So yeah, the twists and turns, in my opinion, has just really been strategically code switching to get to where I am today.
Did you, when you decided to make that switch and step into, you know, this world and creating your own thing, did you always want to be the face of it or did you want to be behind the scenes?
Well, I don't care about fame or being famous because fame has never been the focus. But I felt that the thing that would separate me from the Ball Alerts and the Shade Room was having a face to it because I wanted people to see what I didn't want to hide. Not that the others were doing it, but I didn't want to hide behind my platform. I wanted very much to be visible with it. And so there was always this constant negotiation between making sure Hollywood Unlocked was at the forefront and I was kind of behind it or parallel to really pushing it, but not trying to supersede it. Now I'm in a place where Hollywood Unlocked has its identity and has its foothold on culture and on pop culture. Now Jason Lee is really pushing forward to be his own individual brand in the midst of all that.
That's a delicate dance, right? Because there's an advantage to maybe Angie, Juju from the Shade Room or Robin from Baller Alert is that they are not necessarily tethered to what goes on those platforms, right? It doesn't seem like it's coming from them. For like you or like academics, because you guys' face is so prominent, that it seems like sometimes when Hollywood Unlocked posts something, people think that it's what Jason Lee is saying. Mm-hmm. How cognizant of that are you?
Now, I love this higher learning because this is really good journalism. I feel like people don't ask these questions. I think people don't ask these questions because for me, I think it's very easy for people to put me in a box or label me or say you're this or that, or it's just easy. He's Hollywood Unlocked. No. Hollywood Unlocked is literally my vision for pulling back the veil of Hollywood and showing you a different perspective or closer access to your favorite celebrity. That's the idea behind Hollywood Unlocked. But Jason Lee has always been a very highly opinionated thought leader, whether it was on the Trayvon Martin campaign with the family or it's at the, you know, at Kaiser Permanente for whatever the issues were there. And I think that I found myself in many ways always doing this weird dance where like, yo, I like you as a person. Jason Lee loves you and your show, your music, your fashion. But Hollywood Unlocked thinks that how you treat your wife is trash or how you handle this situation is trash. Your relationship with Hollywood Unlocked don't got nothing to do with me because even though we may be friends, that song you just put out was horrible and it ain't tracking. And so people oftentimes struggle with the balance, whereas I don't struggle with the balance because if you want to be friends with Jason Lee, you have to understand that his business is his business and it's not going to change just because you have this personal relationship. And it's, yeah, there's been times where I've had to talk to people through that, but the real people who are really like in my corner that happen to be public figures, they get it and it is what it is.
Can I get one? Oh, Rachel, go ahead. I want because we
is
might
it,
have
is
the
it
same
a follow up because mine is too. So yeah. If it's a follow up, go ahead.
I have a follow up.
It better not be my question. Go.
Well, we'll see if it is. Having said that, Jason, we both know that it's people that Hollywood Unlocked would not do a negative story on.
Give me one.
Rihanna.
Well, let's unpack that. Let's unpack that. You know what's funny is I told Rihanna.
Right.
I love Jason Lee loves her so much that Hollywood Unlocked will never write about her if she wanted us to. Like, we will never write about her at all. And just I would have my personal relationship with her. But you know, the reality is that there are different platforms that, like, the Shade Room does not write about Cardi B anymore because they've had their issues, right? Like, we're independent media where we work outside the ecosystem of mainstream. We're not controlled or governed by the mandates that come down from. So I'm the come down. So I get to decide what the come down is. I don't have to go up and ask for permission. And I choose to write about, we choose to cover who we choose to cover. But then we also choose that some things are just not necessarily coverable, or that we just lose interest, or whatever the public says, oh, we want you to follow this person. If we just don't want to follow them, we choose not to. But as far as Rihanna goes, I mean, if Rihanna comes out of club tomorrow drunk and falls out in the street, the first thing Jason's going to do is call and be like, hey, girl, why you didn't call me so we could fall out together?
Yeah, yeah, right. Yeah.
Was that Reposado? Was that 1942? No. And then based on that, Hollywood Unlocked will be able to write a story that may be different than this big salacious, you know,
sure,
scandalous story, you know?
I really do. I think I asked you this before one time, or something similar to it. It is really amazing to me how you are able to, I don't even know if I should say walk that line, because you, in this world of Hollywood, people want you to tell them yes and to build them up and to do and everything to be positive. But you're able to stay true to yourself and keep it real and separate the two, yet maintain close relationships with people like Mariah Carey, who presented you with an award, or Rihanna, as we're talking about. For what you've kind of answered the question already on how you've done that. But maybe for someone who's trying to break into this business, because we see a lot of people taking control of their own platforms and really trying to create, what advice would you give them to where they don't have to be all of this or all of the other, that they can more walk it in the way that you have?
I mean, I think you need to stay true to who you are and what your mission is, right? Like, if your goal is to try to be cool with everybody and everything, then you're going to lose the authenticity of what you stand for. And at some point, your cover is going to be blown. I think the thing with me, if I like you, I like you. If I don't like you, I don't like you. If I don't care about whatever the issue is, or I feel some type of way, what you see is what you get. I think the reason why I've been able to build so many relationships with people is because, like, I see Van Lathan or you, Rachel, the same way I see a Rihanna or a Floyd Mayweather or whoever. I see people. And you know, I don't see, you know, yes, we know some of these people are big stars, but guess what? When you take away the cameras and when you strip it all back, we all have vulnerabilities. We all have dreams. We all have desires, or we have shortcomings, or we believe that people don't see us. And so I feel like I try to tap into just the humanity of who people are. And then I have no problem saying that somebody's full of shit and that they're a trash bag, but it's all relatable. And it's my perspective. And some people could say, oh, you know, I was just at lunch with somebody and they were saying to me, oh my God, you know, they were giving my accolades. I said, well, it just depends on who you talk to, because I'm sure you're going to talk to people who are going to tell you I'm this or I'm this or I'm trash. Don't trust me. She goes, on the way over here, two people told me not to trust you. You were this, you were that. And I said, see, I said, but typically those are people who've either paid attention to narratives created by other people or haven't dialed in close enough to exactly what I'm doing. Because if I'm all those things, why don't they say, this man built a $50 million business from Instagram. This man was able to do this move, this move, this move. This man, you know, was able to do all these different things. And that's because I think, and this may be controversial, but Black people in our culture are so focused for the most part on trying to tear apart the fabric of what built the person, then to honor what's in front of them. And some could say I'm a part of the problem because I have a platform that often
I was about to ask you that. Yeah.
Yeah. People often say you're part of the problem, but I always say, you know, who's the problem? The people doing it, the platform talking about it, or the people who can't consume enough of it? you have to look into it, you know, and be very introspective from where you sit. Like, do you like to watch the Love & Hip Hop or the Zeus Network shows? If not, okay. Is your life a Zeus Network show? Okay, if not, do you own a Zeus Network to talk about the Zeus Network show? We're all a part of the same ecosystem. It just depends on where you sit, if you take any responsibility for it or not.
Wait, are you on Zeus Network?
I've executive produced some shows over there. None of the ones that Rachel. Are on now, but...
Rachel, get it. Go ahead and do it,
no,
Rachel.
No, I don't want to talk about it. I don't
Rachel,
know.
No.
We do just your had Zeus a conversation. Network takedown in front of Jason Lee. We're going to save that for Monday. Because we have guests coming on.
We got Natalie's coming on Monday.
So our conversations go all over the place. I have no idea how we started talking about this. So we started talking about Zeus Network. And I said, I'm not for it. I just have a huge problem that it's Black people putting Black people on display in this way. It just seems very problematic to me. And I just hate that it's a network that's for us, by us, and this is the kind of stuff. It's the low-hanging fruit to me that we're putting out there. Am I a member? Do I? No. But I see enough. I see enough, right? And so Natalie says, well, this is actually, her argument is, well, we're in control because we're making the decisions. So it's actually better for us because we can control what people, you know, to make us look a certain way. And I'm like, well, the way is bad. The way you're looking is bad. Is it?
Let me validate what you said, because you don't share that opinion by yourself. And in fact, I just recently reached out to Lemuel to have a conversation with him about a lot of the content that we're promoting, because I think that Black people are not a monolith. There's definitely a segment of our culture that has an appetite for that content, and he's feeding that appetite very, very properly, because that they're not malnourished at all for that type of content. But I do think we need to diversify. Recently, I saw he's promoting Floyd's fight in London, so he's live streaming that. So he's evolving. I will say the one thing that I always say is that as somebody who's been on reality TV that was driven by conflict and combat at Love & Hip Hop, that wasn't the door that I wanted, but it was the door that opened for me to get in, that I had an issue with white people profiting off the pain of the Black community or storylines that were in our, and BET and VH1's owned by a white woman. And this network is owned by a Black man. And, you know, whether we like the content or not, I have no problem. I don't have as much of a problem seeing a Black man develop content for a part of our culture that wants to see it because he's profiting from it. Now, does that mean that what you said is wrong? No, I get criticism all the time where people say, well, why are you over there on Zeus Network when you left VH1 and called them a plantation? Well, because that's how I felt when I was at VH1, and that's not how I feel at Zeus. But it doesn't take away from what you think, and it doesn't take away from the fact that one thing I will say as a business model, what I do respect about Lemuel is he's not only paying everybody well, but he's giving them profit sharing in their show. So and Natalie's making way more money now. Jocelyn's making way more money now than they were on Oxygen and VH1. And I kind of like that. So I don't disagree on the content because the content is what it is. But I totally respect the business model and the benefit that the people who are choosing to be over there are making.
Well, you guys know how I feel. I don't think that Black people have any responsibility to be upstanding. I think we act how we act. We put it on TV, and it's nothing that you can do to make them think any better or any worse of you. History has proven that. I want to ask you a question.
Even Kanye?
Yeah, nigga, you beat me to the punch. Let's talk about it right now. you beat me to the punch. Let's talk about it right now. You were the head of media for Kanye West. Okay. Uh-huh. Is that what the title was? It was the head of media, right?
Yeah.
I have two questions. One, and then I have a follow up. When you were the head of media for Kanye West, what did that job entail?
Okay. So the way the job was created was it came out of meeting a few times, doing the interview, showing him how to control his narrative, talking to him about how the media works, that you can't control journalists. You can't control talking heads. You can't control the people who tell the stories. You can only control you and what you do. And then we do what we do. And hopefully if somewhere lines up, right? So really, it started out organically, just building the relationship. I had a lot of opinions from the outside, from what I've seen and heard, but I've also been somewhat on the inside, having gone to Sunday services and been around the Kardashians, whatever. So I seen him optically very differently than he would present himself in certain situations, but also very familiar of like instances like you had with him at TMZ, where that was just something that was just so overwhelming for us as Black people to have to endure from somebody who's been so important to us. I think you articulated very, very articulately how the culture felt about him in that moment. So I looked at it like, you know, I'm at a point where I feel in my career, I've been misunderstood many times. I feel like in my career, I've made decisions that have been horrible, that don't reflect the heart of who I am or the fabric of who I am. And they live on and they play on and on and on. And narratives have been built that I've fed into, or even the messy thing. After a while, people say, oh, he's messy, messy. If I can't get your attention by an invitation on my show, then guess what? I'm just going to criticize you or have an opinion about what you do until I get your attention. Then when I get your attention, then we can have a conversation. Then when you come in, you see it's not that bad. And then now here we are. When Kanye approached me about the head of media position, what he talked about was he is a visionary and he is a genius in many ways. He laid out a vision for this Donda program that he wanted to develop, where it had various pillars of things that fall under this Donda umbrella. And there was a $1 billion commitment to building this vision. The vision focused on ways of helping the homeless, ways of investing in Black media, ways of clothing and architecture and foods and all these different things. So when it came down to the media, what he said was he earmarked a certain amount of money to acquire all these different outlets. And they were specified on the list, a lot of which we know drives culture that I was like, oh, my God, I love all these platforms. And he said, would you be the head of media to help, one, the acquisition of these properties and also develop a strategic operation for them all? I said, absolutely. As long as they're focused on driving culture, speaking for the Black voice, blah, blah, you know, the different things. We started, as we started that conversation, we had a brunch and we brought together all the top Black storytellers from different verticals, independent media, YouTube, podcasts, whatever, Vogue's and Vanity Fair's. And we had a brunch where we talked about controlling our narrative. And at the time, everything seemed aligned. Then I think going through the divorce, the Pete Davidson stuff, the this, the that, it became a whole other thing where it became crisis control, advising on how to deal with crisis, putting out. And then it just became exhausting to the point to where it wasn't what I thought it was going to be. And so I chose to dip out.
You chose to dip out specifically, if I remember, after the fashion show where him and Candace Owens donned the White Lives Matter t-shirts.
Well, it was right before, and it was right before because when he did bring me in, the first thing I wanted to do was kind of align all his social media. So the messaging we were going to be creating about driving culture for would be established and very consistent. Once he said, I'm going to ask, when I ask you for my access to my Twitter is when I'm going to announce I'm running for president. And I want everybody who works with me to believe in me and vote for me. And I have my own political views. Very not, I mean, I believe women's right to choose. I believe in gay marriage. I believe, you know, like I'm pro-Black, pro-gay, pro-women's rights. So I knew that we didn't align on that. So I knew I had some limited time. But when he asked for the password, that's when I knew where he was getting ready to go. Then all that was happening and I dipped out. But I will say one more thing, because this is the thing I think people didn't really understand about the relationship. This man put me at the table with the president of Gap, the president of Adidas, and I was able to challenge them on how they're not giving back to the community. This man made Adidas $3 billion and they never spent a cent in our community. They never invested anything in programs for the Black community. They didn't even pay for marketing. I said, how do you make $3 billion and not put 5% back into Black programming or education programs for kids or what? None of that. And the same with Gap, where the brands I thought were in the right place, they were all ready to do it, but he just wasn't moving on it because he was too consumed with Pete Davidson. And so I'm like, yo, bro, if you put me in a position to get these brands to spend hundreds of millions of dollars in our community, but then you not moving the needle to make it happen, then what am I here for? You know? And so it just didn't line up with what I was there for. So yeah.
So do you feel like, because this is a thing, and this is a conversation that's bigger in terms of how we sometimes get in the way of us, right? Do you feel like the Pete Davidson situation, the Kim situation, derailed Kanye West's plans for good that he was going to do? And do you feel like that has led to the really extreme spiral that we've seen recently? Because it just continued to get worse and worse and worse, Jason, after you were gone.
I think the great question nobody's ever asked, because people don't want the answer, because the outlets I've been doing the interviews with are part of that ecosystem. One, I think that the conversation you had with him at TMZ, it got his attention because he heard you. He heard the reaction from the culture and he felt the impact of his words. There are instances where things happen where he gets it, right? When he says that, what he said about the Jews, how he did that, how he handled that was so crazy that I would have never said that's how you handle it. But the conversation about the construct of mainstream versus independent or urban, the conversation about who controls what, we all know what it is. But how you talk about it, who you bring into a conversation to make it more inclusive is important. He didn't do that. I think that he has a big heart for his children and he never wanted to become a baby daddy. He never wanted to leave his children the way his father was left him or was pulled away from him or his mother left. And he realized while he was trying this whole new way of getting the culture to understand his apology or wanting to move in a different direction, dealing with his mental health, dealing with the fact that Pete Davidson would send him a picture of him in bed saying, I'm in bed fucking your wife. And then his kids riding around on Pete Davidson's lap as if it was a fucking joke. This is a black man. These are black children. I understand how he was being gaslit on top of the Kardashian media machine every day. It was literally a fight every day with the craziest stories that would be dropped. And this was while he was trying to create Donda 2 and trying to put the Yeezy together and all that. And so I think for him, and this is just my opinion, I started to just see this rapid decline of a human being, let alone as Kanye West, let alone cultural icon, let alone disconnected from reality at times, let alone maniac, narcissist, all of that's real. This is a human being who on his own was walking around town with no security, pulling up in Ubers, you know, living in a hotel, going through custody battles. And so I think the weight of just all of that just became a lot and everybody was trying to take from him, take. And so I don't think he had enough people around him like a me or a you to say, my nigga, like, we got to get off of this shit because this right here is going to go left or this right here is detrimental. And there were times he would ask me for my opinions about those things. But then when it became too heavy, it was really about having people around that just said, yes, 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 yes. And that's when all the yes scenes started, just it just became overwhelming. And you know, I'm not here to make nobody be great if they don't want to be great, but I'm absolutely not willing to jump off the cliff with you when I feel like I have a lot more life to live. You know what I mean?
Would you go back and work with him if he came back to you? And because when I hear you talk about his original intention, you were aligned with that, and he seemed like he really wanted to do good for us and the community and the culture. If he came back to you and asked you to be a part of, I forgot the exact title, but Head On Media.
Donda, yeah.
Would you come back and work with him?
No. I would still be friendly with Kanye. I still have a great deal of respect for him. You know, I have this on my desk right here. It's a text message that he sent me. And it says, power is empowering the powerful. You're the next wave no one can touch. Your mind and attitude are sharp as German engineering. Don't let anyone push your buttons. You're becoming a made man. Even better, don't push your own buttons. 2022 and beyond. But he did all of that. He didn't empower me as being powerful. You know, he got in his own way and he allowed people to push his buttons and then he pushed his own buttons. And so I think for me, I would rather be a friend to him and say what he needs to hear than to be somebody on the inside that's not listened to. And when I was in Dubai about a month ago, I did text him to say, hey, man, I'm thinking about you and I have an idea and I don't want any part of it publicly and I don't want to be paid for it, but I have an idea. Because this was around the time that, what's his name? The basketball player, what was his name? Kyrie.
Kyrie Irving, yeah.
I said, what's happening with Kyrie right now is a moment where you guys can pull together a documentary to uncover the veil of racism in America and have a conversation that needs to be had and pull in inclusive people of different groups and Kyrie and talk about it. And you could almost kind of like flip it on its head and make it look like you planned all this, even though he may not have in a conscious way. But he wanted me to text him the plan, and I don't do the texting because it ends up on Instagram. And so I just left it at that. I just prayed for the man, and I'm out. But no, I wouldn't go back. It just, I don't feel like I can do anything there, you know? Mm.
Are you looking for a view of the world that's a bit different? Hi, I'm Jason Palmer, a host of The Weekend Intelligence, a podcast from The Economist. Join us to hear the stories that matter most to our correspondents and editors. Every Saturday, we introduce you to people and ideas that take you outside the ordinary and expand your horizons one episode at a time. Join us and see the world from a new perspective. To listen free until May 31st, search Spotify for The Weekend Intelligence.
Tell us about the show, man. Tell us about the show, the Revolt show. Is this a we're in a new sort of thing? We're doing a kind of like what's Jason got going on? We got a late night vibe going on here. This is a companion piece to Carisha, please. Like, what are we doing?
No, you know we
no.
In fact, our show we shoot the show during the day, but because of party schedule, we shot at night. Then Remy's show, we shot at night. We were just getting the group of people when we can and kind of feeling like, we have new rules now. We shoot between 10 and 2. We shoot during the day. It's a daytime set. We're having cocktails during the day, but it's not really driven by the cocktails. That's just there for people who want to get lit or just, you know, knock some edge off. But, you know, it's really, we're having fun with it. You know, it's a Black-owned gay man hosting a show that he owns on a Black man's network. And we're talking to people that the culture or pop culture or politics find interesting or not about the issues that are happening. I think you talked about Blueface and Krishan. You know, some people drew criticism. We drew criticism after following Cardi with that, but they are the most popular toxic relationship on the internet. And I wanted to explore the toxicity to see what it was. And we were able to sit through an hour and a half of the most dysfunction in the world to ask questions that I think were deep. They were difficult questions for them because they're used to just the charades and the bullshit. And, you know, but, you know, we're going to interview people like Kamala, who I've invited on the show, or people like Mary J. Blige, or, you know, we're talking to anybody driving culture, pop culture, and politics. So I'm having fun with it.
Wait, Kamala Harris is coming on?
We're trying to figure out the day.
Because I was going to ask you, I know, I feel like you can get anybody. Has anybody turned you down about being on your show?
Nobody's turned us down that we've asked yet, no. But Kamala, you know, we had coffee with her last week. She came to L.A. We had a private meeting with her. I've been going to see her a couple of times, but like working with her team over the past 7 months, because I'm from California. So I remember her as attorney general, and I remember how unpopular she was because of her enforcement of the three strikes law. But I also understand politics, and as attorney general, she doesn't create the law. She enforces the law that were created by the people that we elect in office. And so a lot of our people that don't vote or aren't present in the process don't understand how politics work. And I haven't understood why people, specifically Black people, have not been interested to rally behind her. But I also understand that she hasn't been as front-facing and visible on our issues either. And so we had a meeting last week and we talked. And one of the things, and the reason why I want to share this today is because I haven't shared this with anybody. I looked at the criticism she got online for going to Tyre Nichols' funeral and for speaking out. And I want to go back to the meeting we had with the vice president last week. It was me. I invited Angie from the Shade Room. I invited Kyle from the Neighborhood Talk. I invited Youssef from Spiritual Work and James DeBose from Fox Soul. And the five of us sat there with the vice president of the United States for an hour. And I said to her, we're here because we want to understand how to support you better and also how to make you more aware of our issues. So that way we can bridge the gap and get behind standing behind the first Black vice president, the first female vice president, and something that, you know, is historical. Because if you think about it, Obama being the first president and her being the first vice president is historical, but people feel differently about Obama than they do about her. Mm-hmm. And in the conversation, I could see her mind is so focused on all of the world. I mean, she has the whole world that she's working with. And when I said to her, these are the things that we need you, like we need you to really get behind. So to see, and the reason why I'm sharing this, because I wasn't going to share that, but to see her go to this man's funeral, to stand up there as a vice president, to demand justice and defend him before these police officers have been found guilty, is going to put her in a whirlwind with white people. And then black people are still online going, oh, that's just politics. She's just doing that for the look. But if she wouldn't have went, black people would have said, why she ain't there? It's like, damn if you do, damn if you don't. And so I feel like you can think, you could be critical of someone's performance, but then still give them a good job when they do something right. And I feel like her standing there in that moment when Black Lives Matter organizations arguably let us down with the whole money shit or this shit or whatever, this Black woman took a moment out of her Black day to go stand on that Black stage with leaders like Al Sharpton, who've been fighting for us since our grandparents were kids, to take a moment to amplify how important it was for accountability, and we still attacked her. I'm like, damn, I really don't know at this point what it's going to take to really get people to invest in giving her an opportunity. So, yeah, very interesting.
Rihanna, Floyd Mayweather Jr., Cardi B. One got to go, Jason.
Rihanna?
Floyd Mayweather Jr., out of your life.
Damn.
Rihanna? Floyd Mayweather Jr., Cardi B. This is the holy trinity of Jason Lee's famous friends.
Add one more person.
No, this is the holy trinity of Jason Lee's
Mariah.
No, because if you add Mariah, you're going to get rid of Mariah. This is the holy trinity of Jason Lee's famous friends. Rihanna, Floyd Mayweather Jr., Cardi B, one guy to go. If you get rid of Rihanna before her Super Bowl performance, you're nuts. Go ahead.
Do you know what she's doing for the Super Bowl?
No,
I mean, I don't know.
I spent more money for this Super Bowl than I don't even watch football. I don't even know who the Cowboys playing. I don't know if you know who's fucking playing.
We wish.
Van, I fuck with you, but I can't answer that question because
Jason,
smart man. That's a smart man.
This is not the Jason Lee that I know. Rihanna, Floyd Mayweather Jr., Cardi B, Jason, one gotta go. Give it to him.
I choose myself. I sacrifice myself.
And that's why you're such a success. That's such a good answer. Tell us why, Jason. Tell us why.
Okay. Floyd Mayweather is literally the funniest, most pettiest friend I have in my phone. Literally, the only differences between both of us is I'm gay, he's straight, and he's wealthy, and I'm on my way. That's the only difference. He's funny, and he's loyal, and he believed in me when nobody did, and he supported me, and he's there for every single phone call, including
the first
one
way that I heard of you was actually on, I covered on TMZ an interview that you did with Floyd when Floyd came on Hollywood Unlocked, and it was Charlamagne was like, you don't know Jason Lee? Jason Lee, blah, 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 blah. And then I'm like, oh, okay, that's how I got on Jason Lee, your relationship with Floyd.
And he always ends every single phone call or every text with, do you need me? And I think oftentimes we have friends where you never know when somebody's ready to check out, the Twitches, the whoever's, where they just needed somebody to let them know that they're there for them. So Floyd, number one. Cardi, talk every single day like my sister. I'm a champion of her Cinderella story. I love her. She's the most beautiful kid. She's just a great friend. And then Rihanna, I mean, it's Rihanna. But she's Rihanna is, it's almost crazy because now that I know her, I see her a little bit more as a human than I did before because she's Rihanna, but she's so grounded in reality. She's so down in when your ex-colleagues tried to take her baby photos, as you know, and put them out, she called me and gave them to me. Yeah. And she could have gave those to Rachel. She could have gave those to People. She could have gave those to Vogue. She could have gave them. She chose Black media. And I will always remember it's those things about her that making sure that we're included in the Amazon events and that we're on the carpet and that we're getting access to her. I mean, people at that level are not doing that for new media or black media. And so I always got to be like, yo, I fuck with that. And she just a real one.
I got to say something about that before I let you go. Just about that. Because people don't know. People don't really know how this really goes. First of all, Rihanna is all of that, right? She's like just a crazy regular person to talk to, like if you ever have any communication with her. But what he just said is so important. I'll tell you why. I remember when I was at TMZ, there were people, celebrities, black celebrities, that whenever they needed me to put a fire out, to do whatever, like whatever, I'm there. Let's do this. Let's talk about this. This, they said this about you. Let's do that, blah, 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 blah. But then something would happen, like they would get engaged or they would do something. And then I'd see it on People Magazine or I'd see it on something. And it made me look so bad in the office. It made me look so bad in the office. Like in the office, like, so you come in and be like, yo, so-and-so, isn't that your people? Quick. And then they go back to type. It made me look so bad. So for her to do something like that, for her to give that type of story, you guys have no idea in that world how momentous a story that is from a celebrity of her level. Mm-hmm. That's love.
Wait, but man, let me, okay, I'm glad you said, let me color in just a little thing. When I saw her in New York at her party, I have this thing about me where like, I can sense shit. I have very good intuition. I can feel energy. I'm with her chilling and ASAP's right there. And I love them together. And I'm looking at her and I'm looking at him and I go, are y'all going to have a baby? And she looks at me and she's like, what do you mean? And I'm like, are y'all going to have a baby? And she's like, well, if it happens, it happens. I'm like, are y'all going to get married? She's like, why are you asking this question? I go, I don't know. Something just made me, I'm looking at y'all. She had found out right before that event that she was pregnant, but she didn't tell me then. She kept it a secret. She was playing around because she had a cup of water with a lemon in it, acting like she was drinking. She was doing a lot to really throw me off.
Right.
Or when the baby picture came out, when her pregnancy picture came out, I texted her and said, congratulations, I'm happy for you. And she called me. She said, oh, my God, me and Rocky said we were going to give you the first baby, the announcement. We were going to let you break it. But it kind of got out. We're just so excited, blah, blah. That's okay. No problem. So when the baby photos were taken and she knew it was going to come out, she thought about that and went all the way back to that and called me and gave that to me. Word. And that Van, as you know, is very rare when they think about us in the commission of getting their shit out.
Yeah. You still got your contacts over at Buckingham Palace? How's that?
No, they died.
What was that? You got to run it down, bro. If you guys don't remember, Jason, when I tell you Jason was first, he was first.
That's
first,
that intuition. First. No, he was already playing.
Jason was first, way you, first Jason. On the Death of the
Thank
Queen.
You, Ray.
So what, bro, what the fuck, bro?
Well, I love how Rachel just threw me that life rap. You know, like, it's your intuition. It's the, look, listen. We have new protocols at Hollywood Unlocked for verifying sources. But let me say this. Again, if I told you who the source was, you would be like, wow. Like, you know, and then when you call the Buckingham Palace and they say, we can't confirm or deny, what does that even mean? Like, she's not dead. What do you mean? So there were a lot of things that factors went into that. And I think, like, just as Rihanna gave me the baby photos, yeah, I had a tangible photo. I did not have a photo of Her Majesty laid out in the thing there. I think where we went wrong, a couple of things. One, we shouldn't have ran some shit like that, but we did. But but I think the headline was the Queen was found dead.
Yeah.
Not the Queen reportedly died. Not sources said the Queen reportedly died. It was the Queen was found dead. And then when I started getting attacked, and I was calling around and getting these confirmations, I was doubling and triple down. I learned a lot. A lot of people thought it was a growth hack. Like, he just did that to get clicks. I didn't. We did get a lot of traffic. And we did. I mean, I got far more attention than I wanted. But I don't want to get attention when I'm wrong. But I will say, having got the attention when I was wrong, you know, we can laugh about it because we're not all perfect. And I pride myself in getting everything right. That was one big one that we got wrong. Black Twitter says otherwise. They say that I was first because I knew before everybody else, but whatever, I'll leave it with that. Yeah. That was a very trying time.
Yeah. Yeah. People don't know. I remember like when TMZ got into the whole Lil Wayne situation. You know what? I won't talk about that. Jason Lee.
No. But hold on.
Wait, what happened?
No, wait. I'll tell you, Rachel. They killed Lil Wayne twice. TMZ killed Lil Wayne twice.
Wait a minute, though.
They were working there both times.
I wasn't in the newsroom.
Wait. They killed Lil Wayne twice. And you know what, Rachel? Did they attack Harvey the way they attacked me? No.
They attacked me, though. They attacked me, though. It was niggas that I was out on the basketball court with. I had just started working there. And what people don't understand about sourcing is, let's say that I talk to Rachel's husband, Brian. And Rachel's husband, Brian, tells me something about their relationship. That's a rock solid source. So sure. I can go to, like, if my source like that, that's a rock solid source. I can go to press with that. Like, if he tells me that you guys are, like, if you guys were estranged and he tells me you guys are getting back together or whatever, even if it doesn't happen, that story's A1 legit.
Man, let me ask you this. If Rachel's sister tells you something, wouldn't you believe that too?
If Rachel's sister told me, that's, once again, a really good source. I would take that source as being good. What happens is when it starts to be the hairdresser or the barber or somebody like that that's just talking shit or whatever. But so I'll say this. When somebody might say, hey, we have a source that says somebody's in this condition, it's not that they weren't in that condition. It's that they got better.
The condition of dying?
No, they said that he was about to die. Anyway,
Rachel, some people believe she was dead. Let the people believe what they want to believe, okay?
All right, that is Jason Lee. Jason, tell them the best way.
No, we can't get out of here until I go back to something because I said a lot and I didn't hear something. What do you two think about Kamala Harris?
Oh, what do I think about it?
I will speak specifically to what you said.
Yeah.
About her coming. You said it would have been damned if she did, damned if she didn't, right? If she didn't come, I wouldn't have thought anything of it. Her coming and where we are right now with policing in this country, especially with the Biden administration that said they were going to do more, and the George Floyd Act is just sitting there and everybody's forgotten about it and moved on, it's hard for me to be so proud that she took that moment out of her day to go there when I haven't seen them do anything to correct what's happening right now with policing and Black people in this country. It would be different if she stood up there and said, we got to get rid of qualified immunity or something like that, or this is what I'm currently working on. To me, it is performative. I'm not saying that she didn't care. I'm not saying that I understood why she went there, but it also does feel like someone from the Biden administration should be here to support this family during this tragedy.
And so, this is what I'll say to it. And me and Rachel had that conversation before. Jason, at this point, like in a serious way, I don't doubt the hearts of anyone because it's not my way to doubt people's hearts and minds. I know that all of these people are incredibly well-meaning. But this is what I'm saying. We've had police massacres. It's been like a Frankie Beverly and Maze concert. They've been on tour everywhere. Florida, Texas, Memphis, Baton Rouge, Los Angeles multiple times, Colorado, Minneapolis, New York, Kenosha, Wisconsin. It's like Ferguson, everywhere, right? There is a systemic and large problem. The point is now, in my opinion, who is actually serious about solving it? To me, I'm agnostic about her going to the funeral. I don't care. Do you know why? I can't speak for the family of Tyre Nichols and what it might have meant to them. I can't speak for the family of Tyre Nichols and what it might have meant for her to show up. But for the next person that's in the crosshairs of the police, her attending that funeral meant absolutely nothing. It just doesn't move the needle. It to me, The question is, and I'm glad that she's having conversations with people that are in some way tapped into black people's lives and understand like what it is on the ground that we care about. Because like, what's going to happen now? Like you have Tim Scott and his people over here, and they have their own version of a police bill. You have the Democrats and what they have, and they have their own version of police bill. Each side says that the other bill will not work. And while they stand static on it, niggas just get killed. Mm-hmm. Like, and so my thing is, and I don't think that any of these people besides the people on the right who are acting in bad faith are bad. I'm just like, what's the answer? You feel what I'm saying? I'm like what happens now? You know what I mean? Like you've went to the funeral. They've put him in the ground. We're literally counting seconds until it happens again.
Well, let me say this. And I want to just take a second to this because I think this is a conversation at some point. There has to be a cultural roundtable with a lot of us who can have a very in-depth conversation about it, right? When it comes to police, there are human beings that are bad police. And if you watch the 13th Amendment, if you do some research, you see the trajectory of racism in our country, Jim Crow, prisons, all this stuff. And police, we know there's a major issue with police, right? I feel like, one, if she did say there that Congress needs to pass this bill, the George Floyd Policing Act, that Biden's ready to sign it, federal government or the White House administration and the Senate and the House and how that all operates, if they could write the bill today and sign it and enact it in law, do we believe they would do it? I believe they would. Do we believe they can? I don't think they can.
They don't have the votes, yeah.
And who's holding, like, I talked to somebody the other day and said, who are you voting for next election? I'm not voting. My vote doesn't matter. How many of us feel that way and don't take the responsibility of voting in the right people to make decisions that make it easier for us to enact legislation that holds people accountable or whatever? You know, Black Lives Matter started this whole defunding the police movement. And then where is that at? I don't even hear it anymore. It's almost like we only get outraged when we see people killed like Tyree.
Because we lost, Jason. We lost. We lost.
We lost
the defund the police movement. I tell you, so every time you hear, so people can hear me. Every time you hear a right wing nut use the word woke as a pejorative, you lost. You lost that word. That word had a beautiful meaning, had a beautiful understanding, and they were able to take the word and pervert it and use it to mean people who want to fuck up bathrooms and teach racism to children. What happened to defund the police was there was a framework of what that meant. And that meant a reimagining of public safety to where we don't have $6 billion going to the police department so they can kill niggas more efficiently. What we have is that money reinvested into communities, into mental health programs, into situations of conflict de-escalation. That's what defund means. However, the other side is better than we are. Fact. So what they took, they said, hey, these crazy lesbians, transgenders, and niggas want a world with no police. And the people got so scared.
They hijacked the movement and switched the messaging.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And so now it's like, we got to sit around going, well, was defund the wrong thing to say? No. It was exactly what you should have been saying. It's just you need to drop your nuts and have a fucking fun time about it. Jason got me riled up here. I got to
come on the
show.
Well, it also doesn't help that Biden said he didn't believe that we should defund the police. So you got that too. That's the administration.
Let me say this, and I'm not defending Biden, but what I will say is, as somebody who ran campaigns in the union, right? Think about this. A young Black man at the time going in a hospital and telling Filipino and white nurses to leave their patients at the bedside and go on strike. How do you make caregivers believe that the smartest thing to do to win as caregivers and care providers is to leave their patients at the bed? How do you do that? You craft the right message. You make sure that you build a coalition of support around that message, and you make sure that you educate, then agitate, then move people to action. We were poor organizers for that movement. You know, and I don't
100% disagree.
we have to share in the blame of that.
100% agree. I mean, I agree. Yeah, I definitely agree.
We have to share in the blame and the responsibility of that. But that doesn't mean that the fight is done and that we go away. We keep figuring it out. We figure out the switch of messaging and how to reintroduce whatever it is that we know we need. And I feel like when we hear the hashtag protect Black women, I told the White House literally today, I don't have to be on the phone trying to establish a relationship with you because I'm paid media. I get paid by labels, movie houses, small Black brands. You know, I get paid to do what I do. But I do believe in the ideal that a Black woman could become vice president or a Black man could be president. Or I believe that Kamala could be great. And I want to help bring us to the table to tell you where we feel like there's some people falling short in the administration, and then where the needs are, and then from you, where are the resources, and then for you, what are the issues that are important to you? Because if not, in 2 years, what are we going to do? Put Trump back in office and be here spitting for you?
But, you know, okay, yeah. You know what, Jason, I'll tell you something. That round table that you're talking about.
Let's do it.
Because I really do think that a lot of these things, you know, the older I get and the more serious this gets, like a lot of these things, they haunt me. Like they actually keep me up at night when I think about kids that don't have a safe world to live in to this degree from the public safety people that they entrust. Jason.
Yeah. And it's getting Black people to understand that our issues are not just us getting killed by police, because that's one. But like when I go to New York and people go, man, the weather's beautiful during the wintertime. That's global warming, baby. There ain't no snow on the ground. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
By the way, I'm going to say something. I'm going to let people figure it out. I appreciate you for that thing that you did when I was going through that thing and that thing had happened. You know what I'm talking about. Yeah, I'm going to let people figure it out. All right.
Okay.
That's okay, Jason man. Lee. Watch the show on Revolt. Jason helped me when everybody thought I did something I didn't do.
I got it. I think everybody else will too.
All right. That's Jason Lee. Watch the show on Revolt. We will have you back, brother. Love him or hate him, he has his point of view and he can back up everything that he says. We appreciate you for joining us on Higher Learning.
I couldn't back up the queen being dead, but
but you can laugh about it now.
Well, after you threw me that life preserver, yeah, I can.
All right, brother, appreciate you.
We'll see you again, man. Thank you for being great here.
All right, you guys, take thinking caps off, but do not stop learning. No mail back today.
Okay, no mailbag.
We'll do mailbag on Monday. We'll do it on Monday. We'll do mailbag on Monday. Donnie, do we have time for mailbag or no?
You and I both have mailbag. Somewhere to be Monday. So it's not just me now. It's not just me.
Take thinking caps off, but do not stop learning. Thank you for Jason Lee for joining us today on Higher Learning. I am Van Lathan Jr.
I'm Rachel Lynn Lindsay. Bye, guys.